All right, Psalm 7. Let's read these first two verses, and we'll just look at these this morning. This is a verse or a psalm of judgment, song of righteousness. David pleading for God to arise to judgment and to do so righteously. Let's begin here in verse 1. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me, and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. Now he begins here and he says, O Lord, my God. O Lord, this is Jehovah. There's one true and living God, and this is Jehovah, God of heaven and earth. And he says, Lord, my God. O Lord, my God. Now, this is the question we need to think about. It's not the question for the person sitting next to me. It's the question for me. It's the question for me to consider. Is Jehovah my God? Is the Lord my God? Is he my God? Now, he says here in verse 1, in thee do I put my trust. In thee, in God, not in another. In thee, not in myself. In God only. And he says, in thee do I. This is, no one else can do this for me. This is, do I. This is what I must do. This is what you must do. In thee do I put my trust. My trust. When will I put my trust in God? When will you put your trust in God? Verse 1 there, he says, save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there's none to deliver. He says, save me. A sinner will put his trust in God when we need to be saved. When we need to be saved. When we need salvation. He says, deliver me. Only when we need to be snatched out of the hand of the enemy will we put our trust in the Lord. He says there at the end of verse 2, there is none to deliver. But this is when a sinner will know he needs salvation. When a sinner knows he needs to be delivered is when he knows there is no other. Salvation in no other. There is no other that can, is able to save than the Lord. It's only when we see that God only can save that we will trust God. When will Christ be all to somebody? When Christ is all you got. When you got nothing else. When we shut up to him and see Christ is all, is when we'll see that all salvation is in him. Now, let me give you some background here. Someone had accused David of treason to King Saul. And King Saul, as well as a bunch of his companions, were pursuing David unto death. They were pursuing him unto death for this crime. Now, somebody accuses you and me of treason against God the King. Somebody accuses us of that. Satan is the accuser, and he accuses before God, accuses everyone before God of being guilty of trying to dethrone God. And that's what we're guilty of until God makes us come and bow to him. We're guilty of trying to dethrone God. But he's not the only one. God's holy law, his holy and just law, says of every sinner in ourselves, guilty. Guilty. There's another line. Look over at Psalm 50, verse 22. Psalm 50 and verse 22. This is God speaking. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Now, I want you to picture this. You picture of running from a lion. A lion is after you. A lion is barreling down on you. He's running after you. You're running for your life from a lion. And you can't run fast enough. You're not going to outrun him. You're running as hard as you can, and you can't outrun him. You can't get away. And you cry out, Lord, save me. Snatch me out of the hand of this lion. Snatch me out of his grip. Save me, oh Lord. Why? There is no other deliverance. There is no other. Is our situation that bad? Is it that bad? Is it that bad for all who are not trusting Christ? Is it that bad? The Lord God says there is none righteous. There is none righteous. There is none righteous. David needed to be justified. This whole psalm is a song of David needing to be justified. We're going to look more at it later in another day, but this psalm is about justice. This psalm is about righteousness. David needed to be justified of these charges. We need to be justified. David needed to be declared righteous. We need to be declared righteous. God says there's none righteous. No, not one. None righteous. David had one defense. He had one defense. That's all. Look down at verse 10. Verse 10. Oh, he said, my defense is of God. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous. And God is angry with the wicked every day. He had one defense, and that defense was God. That he did the one thing he could do. And the one thing he could do was flee to the Lord God and cry out, O Lord, my God, save me. In thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me. And that's the only thing any sinner can do, is flee to God, who alone justifies. He sent forth his son for this reason. I want you to see this in Romans 3. And you can be sure to hold your place in Romans. We'll come back here in just a moment. But look at Romans 3 and look at verse 26. This is why God came forth in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why. To declare at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and that he might be the justifier. He's the one who's just, and he is the justifier of all of him that believeth in Jesus. He's the one. He's the only place we can find this refuge and this safety. And David did the one thing that pleases God. This is the one thing that pleases God. Do we want to please God? You know, the man that doesn't want to please God only wants to please one, himself. We either want God to be pleased or we want ourselves to be pleased. Everybody else be damned. That's the attitude of the self-deceiving, self-righteous, carnal heart. I'm going to have what I want. I don't care what anybody else said. That's the heart that's in man. And that heart is manifest towards everybody we come in contact with. We don't really even love anybody till God puts love in us and makes us see who love is. That's right. We use and abuse and do whatever we can for selfish gain. David here has nobody else to flee to. He's persecuted. He's being prosecuted. He's being pursued for capital punishment, for the death penalty to be executed upon his head, to die. That's where we are. That's where we are. We're on death row. Just awaiting the jailer to come and open a jail cell and take us down the hall. And it's over. That's where we are. And we need to be justified. And justification is nowhere but in God, in His Son. So David does the one thing he can do. Flee to the one who says, all I require is just come to me. Isn't that amazing? God said, just come to me. Just come to God. He'll do the justifying. Well, verse 1. He says this, O Lord, my God, in thee do I put my trust. Now let's focus on this word trust just a moment. This word trust. What is trust? We look at these words like this and we think, well, I know what that is. And it's a easy enough word, but when will I trust? When will I trust God? When will you trust God? Trust involves confidence, my confidence, my hope. It's to seek refuge. It's to seek refuge in Him. It's to trust that God is worthy to be trusted. It's to trust that God is able to do that for which I'm entrusting Him to do. And it also includes this. It includes what I'm entrusting to God. My trust is my entire estate. That's what my trust is. My entire estate is my trust. My trust is my eternal soul. My trust is my eternal well-being. My trust is, it's all that I have, all that I am. I trust it into God's hand, my trust. Well, I was thinking about this word this week, trust, my trust. And I began to be blessed as I began to think of a trust fund. And I want you to think about this. A trust fund, in the simplest form, is this. It's when property is transferred by one party to be held by a second party for the benefit of a third party. In the simplest form, a trust is an estate being entrusted to a second party for the benefit of a third party. Now, let me give you an example that illustrates the gospel. You take a father. He has an estate. He has something he's going to leave as an inheritance, give as an inheritance for his children. So he takes his eldest son and he says, I'm making you my trustee. I'm putting all my trust in you. And I'm putting all my estate in your hands. I'm trusting this to you, so that you perform the work of this trust. And you give what I've given into your hands. You give it to my children at the appointed time. Now God is He's the trustor. He's the first. He's the one who trusted His Son, who gave His Son this trust. He gave it over into His hand. He's the first party. He's the trustor, the settler that has something to give. This is the trust. And He gives this trust into the hand of His Son, Christ Jesus, God the Son, Christ Jesus the Lord. He is the trustee into whom the whole estate of God was entrusted before the world ever began. And while we're thinking about that, I saw this too when I was looking this word up. There's such thing as a self-declared trust, where the person who's entrusting is also the one who's the trustee. And God the Father and God the Son are one. They're one. This is a self-declared trust. God swore when he could swear by no greater. He swore by himself. He entrusted this work into his own hand when he entrusted it into the hand of his Son. And when Christ came forth, God the Son came forth in human flesh, he trusted the Father. I want you to see what trust is. God the Father trusted his Son. And his Son came forth. And as he walked this earth as a man, he trusted the Father. If we're going to understand, it's just like every other aspect of learning anything that's true. We're going to have to look to God to understand it. So you have God the Father's the trustor, and God the Son's the trustee. And God did this for the benefit of a third party. He did it to glorify his name. It's the only way his name will be glorified. And he did it for the benefit of a third party whom he chose and gave to his Son. His children that he gave to his Son. That's why he did all of this. Now, he did it to glorify his name. If you were to, if I were to entrust my estate into the hand of my Son, I would do it in order and stress this to my Son. I'm doing this so that you will glorify my name in carrying out my trust. Glorify my name in doing it. So that I know my children will get that which I purpose to give to them. So I know they get it. And God did this to glorify his name in the person of his Son. Look back at Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8, 29. Let's begin in verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And we love God for this reason. To them who are the called. Those who have been called. And this wasn't done by accident. According to his purpose. This is what we're talking about. Let me get your attention here real quick. Let's just put it like this. All right, let's say today your father, your earthly father, has just an amount of riches that you can't even count them. There's so many. And let's say your father has said, I've put this in trust to a trustee, and he's going to give it to you. He's going to give it to you. Are you going to listen to your father? You going to pay attention to what he has to say? You going to listen to see, find out who's this trustee? I better find out where he is and who he is, because that's where I'm going to get this inheritance, is through him. My father's determined I'm not getting it anywhere but through him. And the father's given you one condition, just one. You don't have to work. He's done all that. It's laid up for you, this inheritance. You don't have to work. He's done that. He's trusted this work to his trustee, and his trustee has executed his will perfectly. You don't have to do anything. What you have to do, though, is you have to listen to your father and trust him. Trust him. Trust him and trust his trustee to make good on everything he's promised to you. If that's all I had to do, and I'm going to receive riches beyond measure from my father, you know what I would at least do for my father? You know what I'd at least do? And I think everybody here, naturally speaking, I think we'd do this. I think we'd listen to it. I think we'd at least pay attention and hear what he had to say. And find out who this trustee is. Find out who he is. Well, here's why he did it. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, He also did predestinate, conform to the image of his Son, for this reason. This is why he did this the way he did it. That he, his Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. That he would get the glory. And the Father's name would be glorified in this trustee. And he said, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. You see, there's nothing in there for you to do. He did it. He did the foreknowing. He did the predestinating. He did the calling. He did the justifying. He did the glorifying. There's nothing else for you to do. And he did this in his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He's the trustee. Now he says, look to him. Trust him. Trust him. Listen to him now. All right, now, in God the Father and in his Son Christ Jesus, we see perfect trust. Perfect trust. The command here is, the call here is to trust God. Trust his Son in him. How am I going to know what trust is? We see perfect trust when we look at God the Father and God the Son. God the Father promised his Son glory with the Father. He promised him excellent glory with the Father. He promised him an inheritance. He promised he would be the firstborn among many brethren. This is an amazing trust we're talking about. This trust not only gives the trustee the work to do, it makes the trustee an inheritor of everything. It makes the trustee to be the one who's going to come to the throne of the Father, and who's going to sit down and be the king over his kingdom and the head over his house and receive glory for what he's done and be the firstborn among many brethren. And these brethren are his inheritance. They're his reward. And Christ came forth. That was the promise of the Father to the trustee, to Christ. And Christ came forth. And he accomplished this work that he was given to perform, to execute this work. He came forth and he accomplished salvation. He established righteousness. And he justified his people. This is what David's needing. He needs justice. I need justice to be satisfied. I can't do it. God has told me there's none righteous. That includes you. And I can't do it. I need God to justify me. I need God to make me righteous. And his Son came forth and trusted with his work, and he performed it by his life, by his death, by his obedience to God, even unto the death of the cross. He performed it and perfected it. And when he came forth, he's not only the trustee, he's also the beneficiary. And he's trusting the Father. He's showing us what trust is. He, just as the Father trusted him perfectly, he trusted the Father perfectly. Look at John 17. This is what he prayed. John 17. This is why he did this work. This is what he prayed. We see him trusting the Father. As we go through this psalm, we're going to see a beautiful picture of Christ in David. And David's praying, O Lord, my God. As a man, he's the perfect, faithful, holy one. And he's crying out, O Lord, my God, in thee do I put my trust. Look at what Christ prayed. John 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. You see, this power of the trustee was given to his Son, and it's a power to give. It's a power to give. It's a power to give this inheritance to as many as the Father gave to him. And he says, and this is life eternal. Here's the inheritance. Here's the riches. This is life, right here, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And he said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. and now, O Father. You see him trusting the Father. O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world began. And Christ went to that cross, and he laid down his life, and he accomplished the work. And the Father honored the Son. The Father was true to his word. And he raised the Son from the dead, and he raised him, and he gave him the inheritance. All of it. He gave it to him. And his Son gives that inheritance to those that his Son has made joint heirs with him, co-heirs with him. This is what a trust is. This is what true trust is. And the gospel, the good news, is this. This is what the good news is. God calling his children. God calling his children to put all their trust in Christ, so that we can say, in thee do I put my trust. God trusted his Son. His Son trusted the Father. And God calls on us to trust him, and to trust him by trusting his Son. Now, let's put all this together and see it in God's Word. Ephesians 1. And look at verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. This was God's will before the world began. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. See, this was a self-declared trust. He purposed this in himself. God the Father and God the Son are one. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one, in this trustee, all things. Who is that trustee? In Christ. Both which are in heaven, and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. That's what this thing's about. It's about the trustor given to the trustee, an inheritance. And this is where we obtain this, in him, an inheritance. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You won't be around. You won't even know it if your father establishes a trust for you. You won't know it. He'll do it according to the counsel of his own will. And then he'll make it known to you. That's what God the Father's done. He's going to make this known in all the hearts of his children. Make it known that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. I know that Paul was called and he trusted Christ before these Gentiles he's speaking to trusted Christ. But God's the one who first trusted Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. All eyes in heaven and in earth are on the trustee, on Christ the Lord, all of them. Now, those who put their trust in Christ, called by his grace, back there at Romans 8, I'm going to show you what they are. Now, watch this. Do we get more excited when we think about an earthly trust and earthly riches given to us than we do this one? This is unsearchable riches. This is unsearchable riches. These are riches that can't be counted. But here's what his children are. There's these that he's done this for, those he calls, those who he brings to trust him. verse 17, Romans 8, 17. If children, then heirs. These are the beneficiary areas. This is the third party. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Heirs of God. What does God own? There's nothing He doesn't own. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. Do you see that? Joint heirs with Christ. What does Christ own? What does He not own? Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. And I've got one more scripture. Isaiah 54. Isaiah chapter 54. Now, when we go through this psalm, we're going to see David is fleeing to God because he needs to be justified. He needs to be made righteous. He needs to have his name completely clear before the accuser who's prosecuting him and persecuting him and ready to put him to death. He needs to have his name clear, and this law needs to be upheld. He doesn't want this at the expense of justice. He doesn't want it at the expense of righteousness. He wants this done in justice and righteousness. That's what David's pleading for. Now look at what God says to all those that he brings to trust him. He says, verse 17, Isaiah 54, 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. That means any, in the earth or in heaven. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment. Do you see this? David's being slandered. Some people call this Spurgeon called this the slandered saint. Being slandered. He says, no weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Man, you mean there's absolutely no weapon that's going to prosper against me? There's no tongue that's going to be able to condemn me? How can that be? How will that be accomplished? I need this. God showed me I can't accomplish this myself. David had no place else to flee, and he fled to the only one who could crush all the weapons against him and shut every mouth against him. The only one. How am I going to have it? We've been talking about a trust, that which God entrusted to His Son, that which His Son accomplished. How are we going to have it? It said it's by inheritance. This is the heritage, the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness, God said, is of me. It's of me, saith the Lord. I've done it. Now, when you look back to our psalm now, we'll end here, but do you see what a trust is? This is what trust is. We got to look to God and see Him trusting His Son, His Son trusting the Father, and this work accomplished fully, justifying His people, making His people righteous. And now God says, this is the heritage, this is the inheritance that's given to the beneficiaries. Their righteousness is of me. Now the gospel is this. Put your trust in God. Trust Him. Trust Christ Jesus, who's accomplished this work. You mean I don't have to build the house? I don't have to go out and earn all the riches? I don't have to do any of those things? What's an inheritance? It's a gift. Worked out by another and given freely. That's what this is. And David said, O Lord my God, in Thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. God's never rejected anybody that said, Lord, I'm trusting You only. Save me, deliver me. He's done just that for everyone. And He will. He will. I can say that without reservation, because that's all God calls on His people to do. Trust Him. Trust Him. Amen.